This picture speaks to my heart, and I think that it even speaks to my heart more that we get to see the picture live at times down here at the altar on this corner. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about characteristics of a warrior. I think that if we can't buy into the whole idea that we are in a spiritual battle, we're going to be in big trouble. Unfortunately, a lot of the doctrines and teaching of our day have not prepared us very well for the tribulation period. If I were the enemy, I would, in the generation or two before the tribulation period, which I believe is coming, prophetically speaking, if I were the enemy, I think I would try to get the church just to relax and be all about enjoying yourself. We're not here to bash anybody, but it's the scripture that says in the last days they'll become lukewarm and they'll lose their first love. If we don't buy into the whole warrior concept, Ephesians 6 says we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers. We don't buy into that, we're going to be in big trouble. Characteristics of a warrior, and I used this picture a couple of weeks ago by permission, and I wanted to have it up here again because I think this is the first characteristic of a warrior right here. Humble ourselves as a child and bow before the Lord and seek His direction. Humble ourselves before the Lord, bow before Him and seek His direction. Characteristics of a warrior. I have seven here, which I'll not get through. And then I have an eighth one that I added yesterday that God gave me while praying. And probably today I'm going to pick two of them, and I'm going to do that on my feet. I've asked the Lord to give me the two. I'm leaning toward two that I think is right for the group this morning. We never know who all will be here. We have a different mix every Sunday, and I like it that way. As an outreach center, that's what happens. We have a lot of people who are very committed to the church but only be able to be here every other week due to responsibilities and problems and jobs and et cetera. So we never know for sure who will be here, excuse me. But I do believe this is what we're to have this morning. Scriptural characteristics of a warrior. I have number one, he or she have answered the call of God. He or she have answered the call of God. Can't be a warrior till you've answered the call of God. I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Lots of favorites scriptures in the Bible. This is probably close to one of my favorite stories. If you have a Bible or have it on your phone, 1 Samuel, I want to read. We're talking about answering the call of God. And we're going to stay on this one for a little while. Are you answering the call of God? Well, first of all, can you hear it? If your life's too cluttered, you can't hear it. Okay? Americans need this. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I wonder how many calls of God I would have missed, Don, had I not been listening. And I'm sure I've missed some. I've had times when I had all set in my mind what I was going to do. And that walk by the river totally reshaped that. Has anybody had that in your prayer time? Your prayer time reshapes that. Because you hear the call of God, and I want you to go this way. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way I want you to go. Something we hammer in this ministry all the time and have for years and years, and we're not going to shut up about it till the Lord comes. And that is, take your time with God. You got to build your own way, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to build your own manner of doing it. I'm sure that on the minister staff, we don't all pray the same way. We don't all pick the same place to do that. There's different things that'll quiet different people's hearts. But I want to hear the call of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Beautiful story. And the child Samuel, now this was later to be Samuel the prophet, who anointed David, tremendous man of God. Did you know that great men and women of God start out as little boys and little girls? Who are you influencing? Who are you influencing? Somebody said to my mom, when we were at a revival meeting and Daddy had to pack that house, the old tent revivals, and the singing robins were all singing together with that blonde Gibson old guitar I have in there. That's a relic of my dad's. And someone came up to my mom and said, "Now, Mrs. Robbins, what exactly is your part in the ministry?" And she turned to us row of kids and she said, that's our part. That's my part. Who are you raising? Are they learning at a young age to hear the voice of God? I'm not going to be too specific. It would be inappropriate. But we have a family in our church who has gone through an incredibly difficult trial with anguish and pain beyond words. And I think part of that is because they made a determination to try to teach their family how to hear God. The devil knows if you teach a child how to engage with Jesus, that the devil's in big trouble. How many of you know that somebody that size praying in Jesus' name is powerful? How many of you know that? In fact, the scripture says, and we don't fully understand all this, and I don't think we should read a bunch of stuff into it that we don't know for sure, but it speaks of the angel of a child always beholding the face of the Heavenly Father. And of course, that's where we get the whole guardian angel concept, and I think you can go too many directions and you can add to things that God didn't intend, but I know this much, there's a connection. Teach the child. Some of you don't have the luxury that there are Christian parents, but there are Christian grandparents. Teach the child to know Jesus. I don't care if my grandkids have all the latest action figures. I don't care if they have all the latest videos. But I want them to know that when Daniel prayed in the lion's den and called out to God, that God sent angels and closed the mouth of the lions. Mom was teaching me that story before I was old enough to talk. We have an old reel-to-reel tape of the old reel-to-reel Revere. Remember the Revere recorders? Some of you remember those? We have an old reel-to-reel tape of Miriam and I saying scripture when we couldn't talk plain. We were Dutchy, but we knew scripture. The child Samuel, who are you raising? Some faithful mother trained Billy Graham. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. You know, there's seasons for things. Won't go into that. Now, let me get a little background. There's a reason little Samuel was living at the temple. If you read in the chapters before that, some of you are more familiar with the Bible than others. Hannah had come, his mother, to the temple. And you'll find that in the very first part of the book. She came and she was kneeling in the temple, praying and asking for a child. Eli the priest saw her sitting there, kneeling there rather, and saw her lips moving and seemed she was acting kind of strange and in despair, and he thought maybe she'd been drinking or something, and even kind of called her on the carpet. And she said, "No, I'm asking for a child." And you can read that for yourself, but God honored that request. and Hannah made a promise that if she had a child, she would give that child to the Lord. So little Samuel was actually working in the temple with the priest Eli and had a little living quarters there. That's precious. That's precious. Can't you see him? Obviously a very honorable mother who had given him as an offering, so to speak, to work in the temple. Had his own little bed and his own little candle, and I love the thought of that. That's a neat thing. So he was ministering, it says there, and it came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place, and he was getting older, his eyes were getting dim, and he could not see. And the lamp of the God went out in the temple of the Lord, and the ark was there, and Samuel also laid down to sleep. So it's nighttime, the ark of the covenant is present, the lights have gone out for the night, Eli's told little Samuel to lay down, their work's done for the day. Verse 4, and the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And ran to Eli. He thought Eli called him. Precious story. I love to see sensitivity in a child. Samuel. Samuel. Don't let the devil distract you with the crackling. Just act like it in there. We'll figure it out. Samuel, can you see him hop down off his cot, pitter-patter into Eli? Yes, sir. Did you call me? Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lie down. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose. Can you see him? Pattern across to Eli. Here am I, for you did call me. And he said, I didn't call you, son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know that the Lord did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It's too bad it takes us ministers three times. Be patient with us. Do you see my new sign? Do you like it? Actually, Shropshire made it. Sometimes it takes ministers three times. Be patient. God's not finished with me. Awesome story. Then Eli said to Samuel, you go lie down, and it shall be that if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Isn't that powerful foundational teaching for a child? He didn't say, oh yeah, that's the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, that voice you heard, that's probably the man upstairs. No. You know why we're not hearing much from God these days? We've lost reverence. You might as well shake your head this way, because that's the truth. Eli, who was elderly as a priest, he said, son, I believe that might be the Lord calling you. And here's what you do. You go lay down. And if he calls again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down his place, and the Lord came. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered. Can you see this little boy's eyes? His eyes are this big. Samuel. Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it'll tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli. Oh my goodness. We ain't got time to go into all this, but this is a heavy thing for a boy to hear. In that day I'll perform against Eli all the things which I've spoken concerning his house. Eli had let his house go astray. His boys were priests in the temple, and they were committing fornication in the church with people. Behind Eli's back, Eli had gotten older and he was blinded. And then when Eli discovered what was going on, he didn't take the action he should have. Sometimes we're criticized as ministers because we take strong positions on things. We're accountable. Too much is given, much is required. You who lead, James chapter 5, verse 1, will be judged more strictly. We have to follow the word of God, whether it's comfortable or not. We have to do that. We have accountability. We have to do that. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Kind of enters a different category, leaders, when you know something. Because his son made themselves vile and he restrained them not. They were working in the temple. Now we can see consistency in the scripture. We all have, or many of them, not all of us, but many of us have adult kids. You can't control what your adult kids do outside of your control, outside of your realm, outside of the area you're responsible for. You can't control that. But we have responsibility when we know something. I've been in that situation where something would be revealed that I didn't know, and it demanded immediate action. I've been there. We reverence God. We honor him. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and then he got up and opened the doors of the house of God, his daily chores, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. It's obvious here that God not only spoke to Samuel, but gave him revelation. Because he was too young to understand this. Did you get that? There's a hidden point in that. Oh, I don't get half of this in the Bible. You just hang tough and keep answering, here am I, Lord, and God will reveal things to you that you didn't know. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't understand. I understand. When I first started reading the Bible, I didn't get it either. There's stuff now that's just open to me that years ago I didn't get. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. God wants to see who will hang with it. That's sensible. I'm not going to marry some girl who isn't going to stay with it, huh? Yeah, it's going to take a little time to test this thing out. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And it's interesting that as a young child, God gave him an amazing revelation to give Eli. He wasn't even ready. We would say, our school counselor would have said, why, that's no thing to be talking about a child. That's way too heavy for that child. God can enlighten your understanding and give you a message. And he will do that if you stay with him. If you keep coming back. If you keep saying, here I am, your servant, Lord. Here I am. I'm listening. He'll give you something. I've experienced it. Many of you have too. So Samuel laid until morning, opened the house doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord said to you? This had to be bugging old Eli, my goodness. I pray that you not hide it from me. God do so to thee and more so if you hide anything from me. Isn't that interesting, Vince? That's interesting. He was so young in temple, he's just a little guy. But even at that point, God said, you talk to me. You don't hide that from me. There are lots of directions in this chapter. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Even though Eli knew, that tells you something about Eli. Even though Eli knew, he dropped the ball big time here with his boys. He dropped the ball. He knew it. He recognized the voice of the Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. Wow. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. All right. Characteristics of a warrior. I've heard a lot of you say, a number of guys in the mentoring group last year when we were on a series of studies, I want to be a warrior. I want to be a warrior. Well, it starts with that picture I just had up there. You know, we can be swinging our sword. You know, we can be swinging our sword, man, I'm going to be a warrior. But it's got to start with that picture and humbling ourselves before the Lord and become as a child and having a humble spirit. He answered the call of the Lord. He answers the call of the Lord. The call of the Lord is awesome. He does it in a variety of ways. Take the time with God to hear his voice. At 8 years old, God called me to the ministry. As a little boy, I can relate a little bit. We went to the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Magenica, Indiana, over by Huntington. Daddy was off speaking in revival meeting, and Mom always wanted to go to church, even though Daddy would be hundreds of miles away. And Mom always figured out the time zones, and she would always want to be praying for Daddy for services. But when Wednesday night came, because those days they did midweek services, like we're having communion on Wednesday night this week, they had regular midweek services. And when Daddy was gone, Mom always wanted to take us kids to church. And this particular time at the Magenica Christian Missionary Alliance Church, there was a missionary there from New Guinea, Balium Valley, New Guinea. I'll never forget it. I was 8 years old, so what is that, 55 years ago. And I never will forget being in that service, and they showed movies, actually, reel-to-reel movies of, and I remember it kind of was snowy on the screen. I was a little kid, and I hadn't seen a lot of movies, and I was pretty young at the time, and we were really poor, and we never had a TV. Even in the early days of TV, we didn't have a TV. And I remember being there, and I was kind of excited about seeing these pictures, and he warned us ahead of time. He said, I'm going to show you just how it is where I'm ministering, and I need your prayers. And man, I was fascinated by this couple. They had given their life to go to New Guinea. And I probably wouldn't have showed this in the church, but the people didn't have any clothes on whatsoever. This Balium Valley, New Guinea, it was a real remote area. And I remember there on the screen, people didn't have any clothes on. Something about that night and the commitment of that couple and seeing the faces of those people touched my heart. And I went home that night and cried. The next day I cried. And Mama told me in later years she didn't know what to do with me. And I remember it some. I've been through a lot since then. 3 nervous breakdowns and chemotherapy. But she said she didn't know what to do with me. I was just so broken and upset. Looking back, I had thought maybe I was called to be a missionary. I've shared that with you before. But that wasn't it. God was breaking my heart for hurting people as a child. I'm so thankful that I was in a home where Hannah and Eli had told me about the voice of God and what that could mean and what it could do in your life. Don't let your children just be wrapped up in all the latest cultural nonsense. Instruct them to listen for God. I know my call to the ministry came at 8 years old. I have no question about that. It was reconfirmed when I was 22. Pastor, I want to be a warrior. I want to be a strong person in the kingdom. I want to chase the pearl of great price. It starts with answering the call. Answering the call of God. How does God speak to our heart? Some might ask. Oh, Pastor, I heard that you've heard a voice before. Please don't misunderstand this. I have heard a voice before. I've shared that with some of you. It's in my book. I've had times I actually heard a whisper, an actual, you actually heard it with your ears. But I don't glorify that because I don't think that's the strongest way that God speaks to you. Some are on the edge of their seat and ready to hear a neat story if you speak about God actually saying something to you, which I have had happen, and some of you have too. And if he wants to do that in your life, he will do it, and he'll do it when he wants to. Sometimes he does it in your deepest hour of despair. That's when it's come to me. Harold Popov, in a Russian concentration camp in prison. If you ever can get the book Tortured for His Faith, tiny little paperback book. Referred to it a few weeks ago. Some of you weren't here then. Harold Popov, I'm not sure if the book is still in print. But he was made to stand for 8 days and couldn't move, and the blood had all pooled in his legs, and his legs, he said, were the size of his waist. And he cried out to God, and he said, God, you said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't think I can take any more. And God audibly spoke to him in a powerful, powerful way. And he's the man who made the statement, when you are in a situation in life where you have nothing left but God, God is enough. Anybody been there? When you come to a situation in life where you have nothing left but God, you'll find that God is enough. It is a neat thing to hear a voice or hear a whisper, and many have, but I would say the strongest call is the heart to heart. And I mean that. That's the strongest call, is the heart to heart. Where you know in your knower. Nobody can talk you out of it. You know that God said something to your heart. That time in a church service when you realize you are a child of God. Yes, you've got flaws. Yes, you've come from horrible addictions and a bad background and all kinds of things like we all have. But you know in that moment when that song is being sung, and tears are running down your face, your heart knows the truth. I like that song we sing from time to time. My heart knows the truth. I may have moments of unbelief, the verse says. But I don't let that worry me. It's just a feeling, the song says, that comes and goes. My head may doubt, but my heart knows. My heart knows that Jesus loves me. My sins are washed away. Don't let the enemy steal it. That voice to your heart is the strongest thing. I would encourage you to seek that. We live in an experiential age where everybody's about the next experience, the next exciting experience. Or we're going to go off to this meeting, or even go, it happens in church. We're going to go off to this meeting or to that meeting, and we're going to have some exciting experiential thing. Oh, my goodness, God can give experiences. That's a fact. God can give experiences that are off the charts. Al and Brian have a new song that we didn't have ready this morning. But it says, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. That's an awesome song. When we come to a place where, oh, I want to hear the call of God. I want to be that little Samuel. Pastor, I like that story too. I'm not 5 years old or 6 years old or seven or whatever Samuel was, or 8 years old, Pastor, like you were when you were called to the ministry, but I want to hear the voice of God. When it comes down to this, when we want the healer instead of the healing, you know what's cool about that? You start desiring the healer, he'll give you the healing. I know that's true. Had a crossroads 13 years ago, my own life. God gave us examples to use. We need to use them. Share your testimony. What's happened? What you've been through? When I was laying there and they said they didn't think I'd live the night, and I had to face the decision of, Lord, where am I? How do I feel about life? And where do we go from here? And when we can sort out, I want the healer more than the healing. And I can truthfully say to you, it's only by God's grace and your prayers and the grace as a result of your prayers. 100%. 100%. I'm scared to death. I don't want people to view me as some great man of faith. I wasn't scared to die. Excited about meeting the Lord, but I was scared what I might go through. I was like, oh my goodness, I've been around this. Ooh. And then I realized laying there in that bed the night that who I really wanted was the healer, and that the healing was secondary. I'm not downplaying that. You all were faithful and prayed for me and asked God to heal me, and he healed me and added 15 years to my life, and I did not have a bone marrow transplant. Nobody's ever heard of that. Nurses all go, no way. I did not have a bone marrow transplant. We got people out here, Tammy, you survived an incredible journey of cancer. When God speaks to your heart in a way, I will heal you and add 15 years to your life. I'm on year 13. There's a connection there. There's a knowing in your knower. For some of you new, but it's a good example. How do you know your mother's your mother? Oh, you got a birth certificate. That's not how you know your mother's your mother. That's not how you know that. Oh, I can prove it. We can go over here to Duke's Hospital. It says Virginia Alma Robbins gave birth to Tommy Robbins on March 29th, 1955. That's not how I know that's my mother. How I know that's my mother is at Winona Lake after a revival meeting when I was hit by a car and I was laying on the pavement and I could hear sirens coming. And policemen were around, and my mom said, excuse me, sir, back up. Excuse me, sir, back up. She's a little German lady, and the cops usually backed up if she said that. And she knelt over me in the middle of the street and prayed over me and wept and said, Lord, spare my son and take care of him. I believe you have plans for him. I prayed for him before he was ever born, and I asked you to touch him. I knew that was my mother. There's a love of God that connects with you, that connects with your knower. And you don't have to produce a birth certificate. You don't have to go get your baptism certificate. You know in your knower that you are a child of God. Take a hold of it. Don't let the devil steal it from you. The call of God. The call of God. It's an awesome thing. Characteristics of a warrior. One who has received and seeks. I have answered up here. That's an obvious, that's a good way to say it. But may I say it this way as well. One who seeks the call of God. I have a question for you this morning. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? We were in Promise Keepers years ago, the first year Promise Keepers started when they held the great big rally at the Hoosier Dome. I don't know what heaven's like, but that's close. I was pastor at Chapel Hill, where Zion Chapel is. Rod, who was my assistant pastor, Rod Carell, are so close. He was my assistant pastor for 13 years. He went with us. And several people, I think we took 30-some down. I don't remember the exact number. But we went to Promise Keepers in Indianapolis. 70,000 men in the Hoosier Dome. I don't know that'll ever happen again. It's just 70,000 men. It's a sports event, you know. There's families, and our wives go, and friends. And there were 70,000 men. And I never will forget. They were kind of having a preach-off, it seemed like, and that was the only downside of it. It was awesome to hear 70,000 men sing Amazing Grace. It was incredible in low tone. It was awesome. I couldn't sing. I stood and cried. 70,000 voices. I looked over at my brother-in-law, Jeff, so I said, I don't know what the choir in heaven sounds like, but this is close. And the ladies sing better, and they weren't there. 70,000 men singing Amazing Grace. How sweet. I mean, it just roared across the building. It was incredible. I just stood there and cried. I was like, man, oh, man, this is awesome. But they kind of had to preach off a little bit. It probably shouldn't have been that way. You know, it seemed like I probably got caught up in it, too. Every preacher that came, you know, so you could have the most fiery sermon, you know. And they had Jack Hayford there and all the big names, and respect to him. He's a wonderful man. But John Maxwell, who I've always looked up to, came out on the stage at Promise Keeper. Some of you guys might have been there. And he sat down on the edge of the stage and let his legs hang over the edge and swing. And he sat there and swung his leg. Everybody just kind of looked because he wasn't presenting himself like everybody else had. And he looked out there and he said, "Boys, what's your heart want?" And then he talked to the men, 70,000 men, about lust and separating yourself from the world. And he cried, told mistakes he'd made. You talk about my respect going up for somebody. Ever since then, I've paid attention to things that man said. He's elderly now. But he sat there just like a boy on a park bench with his legs swinging on the edge of that. And no big fancy array, just talk. But he started out by saying, "What does your heart want?" I guess that's the question I bring on this. "Oh, Pastor, I want to be a warrior." The honorable women who come and they really want to be Esther. They want to be Esther. Esther said, "For this purpose I was born." She saved all of Israel. By becoming the queen, she saved all of Israel. God used her. "Oh, Pastor, I want to be that." What's your heart want? Are you seeking the call of God? The voice of God? Are you laying on your cot, filling your mind with all kind of junk before you go to sleep? Or are you laying there so that you can hear, "Samuel, Samuel, I want to hear the voice of God"? All right, quickly, let's look at some of these. He has a burning passion for Jesus. He has a burning passion for Jesus. Number three, not ashamed of Jesus. Feel the Lord's thumb on my back a little bit on that one. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, let's look at those first three. He's answered the call of God. He has a burning passion for Jesus, which I think we've described in other ways in what we've said so far. You get it. What's your heart want? What's your passion? A passion for Jesus. But I think we need to hit this one, especially with a number of you who have come out even recently of difficult lives. Not ashamed of Jesus. Not ashamed of Jesus. Will you say it in the workplace? "I've received Jesus." We like to say in the workplace, "Oh, yeah, I've kind of turned over a new leaf." Anybody heard anybody say that? "Yeah, kind of turned over a new leaf." Don't take the easy way out. The devil isn't threatened by turning over a new leaf. You're not getting into his territory as a warrior by turning over a new leaf. Or, "Yeah, I've been doing some talking with the man upstairs." It's the second time I've said that this morning. I'm not picking on anybody, and I didn't hear any of you say that this week. And if you say that, you can say it reverently. I don't think that's some crime. I'm not hobby horsing on anything, but I am making a point. You got to get Jesus into your conversation, and that's when your nerves will get rattled. You know why? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. At the name of Jesus is salvation. The devil does not want you saying J-E-S-U-S. He wants you to play around with all the things on the fringe. He doesn't want you to hit that head on. But I found out that when you answer the call to God, you'll start referring to Jesus in your conversation. And you say, "Pastor, why does," I've had young Christians say, "Why does it make me nervous if I'm in the factory break room and I start to say I'm accepting Jesus?" Because you're waking all of hell when you say Jesus. Devil doesn't want you saying Jesus. Say it. Say it. If you're not saying it, start it this week. You'll notice a new victory in the workplace when you quit making vague references to God and quit making vague references, well, I'm trying to change a few things and get a few things in order and been talking to the man upstairs and we're going to try. Just say it. You don't have any trouble telling me you're for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't have any trouble telling you I like Harley Davidson motorcycles. I liked them when nobody liked them. I'm the longest one at it. I liked them when they leaked oil all over the place and wouldn't stay running. I just was a hot rod from the time I was a kid. And I liked, they said they shake you to death. I said, that's what I like about it. And I love to set it to stoplight. And I got an older one now that I came through divine intervention. Didn't know God could do that, did you? I got an old one now from someone here. And I like them because they sit there at the light, you know, running. And they're shaking you. And they're dripping oil. And you know, they're, and you're thinking, it's going to die. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun. But I'm not afraid to tell you, see my new Harley jacket? Yeah, what do you think? Wait till you see the bike I got. Yeah. I got a 41-year-old bike in mint condition. Yeah. Go ahead and say it. Sit down in that break room tomorrow and say, Lord, I want you to give me an opportunity today to say Jesus to somebody. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to make some enemies when you do that because people don't want to hear about it. And you're going to bring some agitation. Of course, in our political correct society, it would be a shame if somebody was offended. Of course, they can throw up all over you. Nobody's going to say amen to that. They can throw up all over you and say every perverted thing in front of you, and I'm supposed to just sit there and take it. But if I say Jesus, woo, you rile the enemy when you say Jesus. We're about Jesus. We've had people in courtrooms say to us, well, now, you push this thing too hard about God. I said, I've been out there, and that's the only thing that works. You're sure as heck ain't working. Oh, look at the statistics. Oh, it's working real well. Look at the statistics. Jails are running over. We got a mess. We are out of control. Anybody see that? So don't tell me, not being smarty pants, but when you're 63, you can be a little bolder. You don't talk like that when you're 25. But I've had those conversations with prosecutors and people. I've said, sir, may I say something respectfully to you? Yes, you may. I remember a conversation right in the Prue courthouse. I said, what you guys are doing sure doesn't have very good statistics. We're recommending Jesus because it works. It isn't some sales pitch. It isn't running religion down anybody's throat. It works. When you get deep into addictions, anybody going to say amen? When you get deep into addictions, you got to have something powerful enough to break that. And, my friend, it's more than willpower. But when you get a person that's willing to make a choice and answer the call of God and has a passion for Jesus and they're not afraid to say, oh, man, today I'm this close to slipping. I've been an addict in the past, and I am so close. I'm going to hit that altar like that little girl does every Sunday morning that sets an example. God sent us that picture as an example because we need to keep humbling ourselves, and I'm this far from falling off the wagon. Oh, been there. I'm this far from falling off the wagon. Lord, I need you, the song that we sing so often. And I don't need to turn over a new leaf. I'm out of leaves. Anybody run out of leaves? I need Jesus. Say it. I challenge you this week. Say it. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll be surprised the warrior that will begin to develop in you when you say Jesus. Jesus is the answer to this mess that we're in. Interesting that the coming world leader in the tribulation period, Vince, is called the Antichrist. They're against us, but they use the name. But a prophecy is in the last days, we'll water down the gospel in the before the coming of Christ to where, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't. Say it. Say it. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. There's no name under heaven and earth where we can be saved except the name of Jesus. Now, I am going to follow what I feel. I got two more minutes. But I'm going to jump to number 8. God gave me this one yesterday. This is going to seem like it doesn't fit. Pastor, speech-wise, as far as a speech class, you did a horrible job. You might think, you usually have stuff tying together pretty good, and you roll into the next point. This one doesn't even fit. No, I don't think it probably does, but I believe God wants me to say something about it. Characteristics of a warrior. We had them up there on the wall, 7 of them. Yesterday, God gave me this one. For some reason, I believe I'm going to mention it today. A true warrior knows when he's not supposed to fight. Pastor, that doesn't fit at all. Stay with me a couple minutes. When you have a burning passion for Jesus, stay with me. This is going to be fun. When you got a burning passion for Jesus, you ain't, pardon my English, you ain't beating around the bush. You're not making vague references to Jesus. You're not acting like there isn't a devil. We don't want to upset anybody. You're not playing any of those games. That's all it is. You're addressing the issue that you need Jesus and you have a passion for him. There'll be times, Rita, there'll be times when God will say, step aside, sister, I'm fighting this one for you. A true warrior knows when not to fight. That's for somebody. I don't know who it is. The last few months, I had a situation where God said that to me. He said, you have every right, but I want you to step aside and let me handle this one because I am going to defend you. I said, thank you. Thank you. I need it. A true warrior, God knows that passion in your heart. He knows that when he calls Amber, that you'll pitter-patter right off your cot and run over and say, what you need? He knows that's in there. But there'll be times when you'll face obstacles where you just don't feel like you've got enough sword, and you believe in the sword of the Spirit, and you believe in the power of God and the faith of the Bible, and God will assure you, and he'll say, you step aside, son, I'm going to fight this battle for you. And I have been amazed how God has done that. And I said, and I say that with authority, that recently I've had something that God said to me, I'm going to take care of that for you. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17. My 2 minutes almost up. Hang on. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17. It's an awesome story. Hearken, all of Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, do not be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. They were facing a huge multitude. For the battle is not yours, it is God's. Tomorrow you go down against them, and you shall find them at the end of the brook. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation. This is for somebody. For the salvation of the Lord. I don't know what all you're going through, but this is for somebody. God's brought you here today for this. Be not dismayed. Tomorrow do not go out against them. That doesn't seem consistent with a warrior. Well, Pastor, I thought if you were a warrior, Ephesians 6 says put on the full armor of God. Then you're going to get the shield of faith, and you got the helmet of salvation, and you got the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, give me my sword. I'm going after him. Sometimes God knows that passion's in your heart, but you're worn out. You've taken a lot of hits. And God says, you go over and stand on the hill and watch. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go. Tomorrow, go out, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground in all of Judah. Repeat that one verse so I can find the right one. You shall not need to fight. That's the one I want to repeat in closing. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Be not dismayed. You can read that story yourself. In verse 22, it says, they begin to sing and to praise God. And the Lord sent ambushes against the children of Ammon. And it goes on. It's an awesome story. A true warrior that has the fire of God burning within him. A true sister who's the quality of Esther, and I believe we got some in this congregation. Please don't be offended, men, okay? Please don't be offended. But I almost think in this congregation, right in the season we're in, we've got some pretty strong praying women. Some of you guys need to step up. Say that gently. But I ask the Lord to give me a good understanding of our flock. We got some tremendous women prayer warriors among us. And we've got some men too. But I believe there's men among us that God is calling. Many of you women have stepped up. I've been amazed at the texts I get of people that God gave me this verse for you and God gave me this. And I think, man, you're on the money. You don't even know what I'm thinking today. You don't even know what I'm dealing with today. But I think God's calling us. We've got to be warriors in the kingdom. But a good warrior and one that has the burning passion of God sometimes has the wisdom to know when he's not to fight. And God will push you to the side and say, I'm going to fight the battle for you. All right. My 2 minutes is up. Right. So I'm going to quit. I'm going to put this back. I'll hit these other points another time. You've seen me do that. I'll work it in. When God gives me points, I always get them. Sometimes it'd be a week or two. Sometimes it's 3-4 weeks. But we'll get them in there. Scripture characteristics of a warrior. He's answered the call of God, has a burning passion for Jesus, not ashamed of Jesus. Will you take the assignment? I won't look, see if you're nodding. I'll look at the floor. But will you take the assignment tomorrow? Say, Lord, give me an opportunity to say Jesus to somebody. Give me an opportunity to give Jesus the credit. Somebody would ask me, boy, it seems like you're kind of changing and getting things in life. Don't say, well, yeah, we're kind of trying to do a few things different. Don't do that. Look at them straight in the eyes and say, Jesus has made a change in me. Because that will push the enemy lines back, and that will stir the Lord's heart, and you're answering the call to do that. And when you need covered and you say, well, they're all going to gang up on me, God will say, son, go stand over. You say, well, I've been saying the name Jesus. Now in the break room, everybody, they don't even want me in there anymore. I've been there. They don't want me in anymore. They ask me to leave the room. They even start something. They say, we better ask Robbins to leave the room. He ain't going to like us. But it's interesting, when they all went through divorces and troubles, guess who they came talk to? Yeah. I don't mean that in a boastful way, but when I left Kroger's, the manager came to me and he said, you were never titled this, but you were a counselor here at this store. And he was very emotional. I don't say that to my credit. Oh, they tell me to leave the break room. I wasn't welcome in the company. But when the storms came, they knew you were listening to the call and you were tied up with Jesus. And that's important. And when you do have that time when you're ganged up on, and you do have that time when everything's going against you, he'll say, son, you've taken a lot of hits. Go stand on the hill and watch. I'm going to take care of this for you. Let's stand together.